will regulate a militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Thanks so much for tuning in to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. Happy Veterans Day to you as well. Coming up, we've got a story that veterans probably aren't going to be too happy about, honestly. We've got an interview with our friend Kevin Dixie from No Other Choice Firearms Training that I want to get to. I actually talked with Kevin on Friday. There was a recent hearing in Missouri, lawmakers getting together to discuss ways to reduce violent crime around the state, but primarily in St. Louis and Kansas City, Missouri. And there were a lot of stakeholders there. You had members of law enforcement. You had local elected officials. You had public health experts. But one person you didn't have was Kevin Dixie. Who, with his program Aiming for the Truth, has been going into underserved communities with real firearms education and training, as well as opportunities and lessons on how to turn your life around if you've started going down that wrong road, ways to revitalize and reinvigorate high crime communities. And I was really disappointed that these lawmakers did not take advantage of the opportunity to talk with one of their native sons, Kevin, right there in the St. Louis area, but was not a part of that conversation. So I invited Kevin to be a part of this conversation. And one of the things that we ended up talking about and sort of our jumping off point was the fact that a lot of these elected officials who are out there pushing these gun control solutions are also proclaiming themselves to be champions of criminal justice reform. They want to do things like decriminalize cannabis to expunge records for, you know, nonviolent arrests. And look, I don't really have a problem with that, honestly. What I have a problem with is replacing a war on drugs with a war on guns. I have problems with people saying, oh, I'm a criminal justice reform champion, when what they really want to do is replace those possessory offenses for drugs with possessory offenses for firearms. I don't think that actually does any justice or is the type of reform that the criminal justice system actually needs. And as it turns out, Kevin Dixie agrees. Take a look and a listen.
And, you know, it's ironic that they'll, you know, and I'm okay too. If you want to, I mean, if you want to smoke whatever drug you want to smoke, and the law says whatever, do live your life. But one thing that I'm very opposed to is they say, hey, make a choice, smoke marijuana or be free and carry a gun, but you can't do both. I think that is absolutely asinine. And obviously there's a responsibility that comes along with everything, but they're just, you know, if you have a medical marijuana card for medical reasons, then you can't own a firearm. They are finding any reason, even if it means allowing people to dope up more, to take away their guns.
Absolutely.
And we have to be open and aware of that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's encouraging people actually to go to the black market, honestly, because as you say, if you have your medical marijuana card, you're going through that process, you know, legally at the state level, then you're told you got to give up your Second Amendment rights. If you stick with the illicit market, nobody knows. You might get caught, but, you know, the chances of that are relatively small. And I think you're right. I think it's driving people to actually break the law because of those asinine regulations. But, you know, you've got a program, and I hope that lawmakers in Missouri know about this, because I think that this would actually, honest to goodness, help if you get some support behind this, Aiming for the Truth. What is this program all about?
So Aiming for the Truth is built off the principles of what the aforementioned, right? It's built off what can we do to get to the roots of violence and kill violence at its source. So we're aiming for the truth. We're not blaming guns. We're not even blaming, you know, the system per se. We are just trying to deal with the issues that are causing people to be violent and getting to the root of those. So we start off talking about mental illness and mental health. That is something that is not paid enough attention to. And to be very straightforward and honest with you, in the communities they say that they want to help the most, mental illness is one of the most taboo subjects there is. Nobody wants to talk about it. Right? So we're actually opening up and having that dialogue and having that conversation. We're allowing people to actually heal. We're getting them the resources and helping them heal, and we're talking them through it. And I give my testimony and my struggle with it to kind of be an advocate for that. And then we're going to talk about the dads. You know, I've been responsible putting over 100 fathers back into the household. What does that cure? Well, guess what? If dad's there, discipline is there, right? Structure is there. If dad is involved with the kids and he understands, hey, this is what my life is about. It's really about my family. It's about making them better. then he's not out doing foolish things because he understands what he can lose now. Because if people don't understand what they can lose, they don't understand the value of life, then they'll just toss it away. But we put them back into the homes and we get them in a relationship with those kids, but they don't understand, yo, this is what I'm living for. And we help them with those resources. Employment and employment skills. There are plenty of men 35, 40 years old that don't know how to write a resume or tie a tie. And so it's linking them up with the resources to help them do that. Sometimes it's me sitting on the phone going over the resumes with them. Whatever we need to do. Mm-hmm. Connecting with individuals that might be looking for labor jobs or office jobs or whatever the case may be. But getting them employed and then hooking them up with the financial experts that can help them manage that money if they need that assistance. Getting with the kids, showing their kids that there are other things to do outside of what they see every single day in their neighborhoods. You know, there are the Boy Scouts. There's camping. There's fishing. There's being able to work on cars. Like, there's a lot of things. I don't want the world to convince you that this small bubble of violence is all you have, because then they don't have anything to look forward to. So getting with the kids, getting them tutoring if they're falling behind in school, linking them up with schools in the area that I trust that offer free education for the kids can go get that education, motivating the kids. And then one thing that we do is give the entire family free firearm safety training. The reason we do that, whether the family can own a gun or not, is because we are tired of seeing all these lives be built up and be lost because they don't understand the law, or be lost because somebody had a foolish accident. And so we come in and we help build up that equity, and then we educate people how to protect that equity through conflict resolution, through making sure we're not having accidents with firearms. Because even if you don't own one in your home, you don't know where your kid's going to go. You don't know where they're going to find one. So kind of the hot stove method, just to show the entire family to be safe and to show them that they are valued, they are loved, and we can cure violence by making sure that we build strong families and strong people at its roots. So that's what Aiming for the Truth is.
And y'all have had, I mean, you've had huge response when you've actually, you know, taken this program out into the community.
Oh, absolutely. We've been to a lot of cities around the country. I just recently got back from Phoenix, Arizona, where there is a heavy Hispanic population, and even they resounded well to it. We actually had a Mexican federale who has dual citizenship come up from Mexico when he heard about it to come ask me how can he bring this program to the country of Mexico and to the Hispanic community in Phoenix more. How can we be into the schools? Law enforcement officers have brought me out. I was just in Riverside, California, talking to law enforcement officers about understanding the psyche of the individuals they are encountering. Not just, hey, good guy versus bad guy, but no, guys, really understand what these kids are dealing with. Mm-hmm. Understand from the ground up. So I went out and talked to several thousand law enforcement officers about that. So we're not just healing, we're building those gaps. We're opening those lines of communication across the country. And it's unfortunate that right here in my hometown, they don't want to have that conversation.
That is so disappointing because, as you say, you know, your message is resonating. People are talking and they're listening. Why do you think there is that block? Why is it that the mayor, the city council members, you know, local state representatives, the state senators from St. Louis aren't reaching out to you and you know, hoping to learn more about this program?
Cam, I can honestly tell you, man, it's simply because of my stance on firearms. That's the only reason. Because you can take, and nothing against these individuals. I love them because of their sacrifice. You can take people that have made mistakes in their lives, former felons, things of that nature. And part of the bill now is to put those individuals in front of the kids more to keep the kids from resorting to violence because these guys can tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about, that's cool, nothing wrong with that, but how about I walk you around the other side of it to say, hey, not only can you stay away from being violent, you can actually be a me. You know, I come from the same environment with no dad, a single mom, but yet I was able to make it through all the mess, have a wife, two wonderful kids. I live in a 3,000-square-foot home. I have several vehicles. I'm educated, and I can carry a gun, and I do it legally, and it's fine. And I can tell you the historical reasons of why, because everything that I live for now is rooted in the fact that there were people once that wanted to deprive us of that, and everybody that freed us from that torture carried a firearm. So let me educate you in a responsible manner. But that's got to be the only reason. I have been in front of the city council members. I've been in front of these different organizations. And Cam, I got to be honest with you. Sometimes I'm sitting there in these different rooms, and they don't expect me to show up. And I'm sitting there, and when I speak, they listen, but they're disgusted. Right? As soon as I get to the firearm, they are disgusted. They love everything else. But then they turn their nose up. They're disgusted. Time Magazine, when we were on it, when I was granted the opportunity to be on the cover of Time Magazine, and they did a reveal here,
mm-hmm.
they actually had, it was led by one of the St. Louis City Police captains, they actually had an entire panel that was against gun violence They used the Time magazine cover as the opening conversation, as the conduit to have the conversation. It's blasted all around this room. I'm in the room, Cam. They had a panel of six members. Only one was on the cover. But I'm in the room. I'm on the cover of the magazine, and they wouldn't invite me on the panel. It's amazing at how mean they are and how they would rather see people die than allow somebody that differs with them about opinion to come up and assist with the problem.
You know, and it's sad, but that's exactly what happens here. And you're right. When you let – and you know, the sad thing is, Kevin, like, I imagine you'd talk to any gun control advocate that wanted to come up and have a conversation with you. And you'd listen to what they had to say, and you might disagree, but you could have a conversation with them. It's when they don't want you to speak, again, because they don't like – the fact that you're not out there talking about gun control. Look, you're not going to ban every gun in St. Louis. You're not going to be able to prevent individuals from getting a hold of firearms on the illicit market. What you can do, as you talk about, is give those individuals the tools to make the right decision so that they don't go down that wrong path, so that they have respect and they see the inherent value in human life. There are, and again, that can be done a heck of a lot easier than trying to round up 300 or 400 million privately owned firearms in this country. It is more practical, you know, to do what you're talking about than go down this anti-gun ideological road. But they've got their blinders on, and you're right. They cannot, you know, take them off and actually see what is best for the good folks in these bad neighborhoods in St. Louis.
Yeah, that's because that work, the true work, requires a lot of effort. And I have sat on stage for 3 hours almost and debated Moms Demand Action, the local chapters here, so much so to the point to where I was having a wonderful conversation with the lady, and she turned and started yelling at the crowd because the way I was approaching her was calm. I wasn't mean or anything. I was just using facts and bringing a different perspective to the conversation, but she became so flustered, she unfortunately started yelling at the crowd. She wasn't yelling at me, but she just started yelling her voice and yelling at the crowd because she couldn't confront what I was saying. And what I'm trying to explain to them is this: if you want to save lives, if that's what you want to do, then you will work with the people that come from the areas that have the harder approach to save those lives. You wouldn't cherry pick the individuals you want to work with. Mm-hmm. So it is telling me that it is not the fact that you want to save lives. You want to control those lives. So much so, by you throwing gun control as a way to say you want to fix these inner cities, you want to help people out, honestly, you're creating more criminals. So you're not helping them. You're criminalizing them. And that's why I like to say what you offer to us, for people that think that way, you are not offering resolution. You're offering more prison. And you're offering more police to incarcerate individuals as a way of controlling them. You aren't offering a solution. And that's a sad state of affairs, but it is the truth.
It is. And, you know, what's interesting is that in Philadelphia during the elections, unfortunately, Mass Turay did not win his at-large city council seat. Philadelphia elected a couple of members from what's called, I think, the Working Families Party. They were endorsed by the Democratic Socialists of America. These are not, you know, quote unquote, conservatives or people who are on the right. But if you look at their platform, and now maybe they'll turn around and they'll support all kinds of gun control measures. But if you look at their platform, what they were talking about is ways to address Philadelphia's violence. They're talking about, you know, ending over policing. They're not talking about putting new gun control laws on the books. And so I'm curious, Kevin, do you think that there's a road that doesn't go through traditional, you know, conservative policies where you can talk to folks on the left and they get it too? They get, oh, yeah, if we put another gun control on the books, that's basically just going to mean, you know, another a law that's going to be disproportionately used against young men of color. Can we have that conversation with some folks on the left, and can we make inroads there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one, it's really sad that Marsh didn't get that.
I do too.
But two, it's that's one of the reasons why, if you look at my platform, you don't see me talk about politics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because I'm not politically aware. It's not because I don't have a stand. It's just simply because I don't want people to use that in one way or another to avoid the conversation or avoid working together. So I've never in my heart felt I need to talk politics, just policy.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe that if we really kind of toss away the political banner on both sides, I think you will find there are a lot of people that are kind of in the middle and are just like, look, what can we do that works? Because people, oddly enough, if you want to summarize it from the left that live in these neighborhoods, like not the politicians per se, but
right,
the people understand that the laws don't work. they get that. Like, so you don't even have to convince them of that. They're just like, what can we do to make things work? So I think across the board, what we should talk about outside of gun control, because we all know, including the people in the hoods, know that that doesn't work. What we should be talking about is what does work. It should be bipartisan, and it should be a collective of every American coming together and saying, we're having a problem in this American community or communities. What can we all do to come together and fix it and not listen to a bunch of people that just want to arrest you?
Absolutely. Kevin Dixie, man, I appreciate you spending some time with us today. I got to tell you, I hope that we can get you out here to Virginia before long, because when the new session comes in early January, we're going to see a bunch of gun control laws headed Virginia's way. And I would love it if lawmakers could hear your perspective. So I'll reach out to you. We'll talk about that in the near future. All right, let's get to some of our other big stories today, including some not so great news for Michael Bloomberg. New poll out by Politico and the Morning Consult showing that Michael Bloomberg is slightly less popular than Kamala Harris, at least in terms of being a presidential candidate. Yeah, polling at 4% in the first Politico Morning Consult poll to feature Michael Bloomberg as an option for would-be Democrat primary voters. That's not great. Again, right below Kamala Harris, ahead, I guess, of Cory Booker, ahead of Andrew Yang, Marianne Williamson, but not what you would call a front runner. And there may be some structural issues for Bloomberg here based on his personal unpopularity. According to this Politico Morning Consult poll, nearly 25% of Democrat primary voters view Bloomberg unfavorably. 31% view him favorably. So he's not underwater, but he's kind of treading water, especially when you look at the favorability ratings of Joe Biden. Nearly 3/4 of Democrat voters say, yeah, I like him. And 18% have an unfavorable view of Biden. Now, keep in mind, Bloomberg's whole candidacy is based on the idea that Joe Biden's not getting it done, that he's declining in the polls, he's going to have a hard time winning. And Michael Bloomberg's supposed to be the guy that sweeps in and gathers up all those moderate voters and then takes the candidacy. Well, it would appear that even those self-proclaimed moderate voters don't really like Michael Bloomberg. I've got a big, big piece at Bearing Arms. Went up over the weekend, part of our VIP stories, that takes a look at how concerned gun owners should be about the prospects of a Bloomberg candidacy. I would encourage you to sign up and become a VIP member of Bearing Arms. Read the whole thing for yourself. But I can tell you the takeaway for me is that there are billions of reasons why gun owners should be taking a potential Michael Bloomberg candidacy seriously. It's easy for us to roll our eyes and say, come on, he's Michael Bloomberg. And I'll be honest with you, polling like this, it does kind of make it easy to say, he's not going to go anywhere. That's probably the case. Probably. But Michael Bloomberg has really yet to get in as an official candidate. And once that money starts flowing and once the messaging starts getting pushed out there, these numbers could change. So, gun owners, I do think you've got to take a prospect of a Bloomberg candidacy at least somewhat seriously at this point. Now, I mentioned it is Veterans Day, and happy Veterans Day to all of those who served, who are watching. At the University of Virginia in Charlottesville, there's been a Veterans Day tradition for about a decade now, a 21-gun salute by members of the ROTC. That will not be taking place this year. The university has canceled that event in part over concerns about, quote unquote, gun violence. Yeah, the university's president, Jim Ryan, got an earful from alumni, including some veterans, and ended up going to Facebook over the weekend and posting a response. And he said, as the son of a father who served in the Navy during the Korean War, I share views of the importance of honoring the men and women who have served in our armed forces. I fully support and I'm honored that UVA hosts a 24-hour vigil and Veterans Day ceremony put on by our ROTC programs each year. Related to this year's ceremony, he says, the Provost's Office and Colonel Michael Huff, commanding officer of UVA's Air Force ROTC detachment, worked closely together in making the decision to eliminate the 21-gun salute for two reasons. First, Ryan says, to minimize disruptions to classes, given that the event is located at the juncture of four primary academic buildings and is held at a time that classes are in session. And second, he says, recognizing concerns related to firing weapons on the grounds in light of gun violence that has happened across our nation, especially on school and university campuses. Look, they've been doing this for a decade without issue. So I'm not really sure why this is an issue now. Clearly, again, alumni are, at least some alumni, pretty ticked off about this. A lot of veterans are ticked off about this, to the point that the university president says, we're going to look at ways to maybe bring this back next year. I'll believe it when I see it. And I don't understand why the university simply could not have alerted students to the fact that, hey, on Monday, November the 11th, it's Veterans Day, just in case you didn't know. And as part of our commemoration for those who've served, there will be a 21-gun salute conducted by members of our ROTC program at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, whatever time, on the ground. So if you hear a rifle volley, that's what you're hearing. How hard is that? Instead, the university clutching its pearls and, oh, wringing its hands. What are we going to do with these poor kids, who are all adults, by the way, are going to get so freaked out by the sound of those rifles being fired that that mass panic could ensue. I think you can give them a little more credit, quite frankly, but the university does not seem fit to do that. And so, nope, the 21-gun salute silenced on the campus at UVA in Charlottesville this year. All right, shall we get to our armed citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivism report? I think we should. We'll start with our recidivism report from Florida, where this gentleman, 49-year-old Richard Miller, now facing murder charges after his girlfriend was found shot to death in her apartment. According to authorities, Mr. Miller is no stranger to the law. In his 49 years on Earth, he has managed to rack up 32 arrests on felony charges. Now, we don't have any of these actually resulting in felony convictions, but 32 arrests. You got to work really hard to get arrested 32 times for anything, much less for 32 different felonies, including robbery with a weapon, felony assault, aggravated stalking, domestic violence, battery. Okay, and now a warrant for first-degree murder for Richard Miller, whose ex-girlfriend or his girlfriend was found with multiple gunshot wounds in the parking lot of her apartment complex in Brandon, Florida. Authorities learned that she had recently broken up with Mr. Miller. They did some surveillance on a home where they believe Mr. Miller was located. He was inside when the SWAT team called him out. He came out, was arrested without incident. A gun used in the shooting was found inside that home. And now the biggest question really is, why was this guy out on the streets to begin with? Given his lengthy criminal record, 32 different felony arrests, what happened that allowed Mr. Miller to be a free man rather than spending years, if not decades, behind bars for his violent crime? We'll see if we can get more information and hopefully bring you updates in a future edition of Bearing Arms, Cam & Company. Meanwhile, our armed citizen story today, I'm probably going to mispronounce this name. I'm not even going to try. Houston suburb, a smash and grab attempted robbery. And I say attempted robbery because it did not go well for the four robbers who decided to come inside this store. It all started with one individual sort of serving as the lookout, got buzzed into this jewelry store, and as he was going inside, he ended up holding the door open, and four masked robbers then ran inside that jewelry store. Okay, I'm going to pronounce the name. Atascocita, Texas? I think that's right. Atascocita, Texas. It's a Houston suburb. The owner of this jewelry store, Delton Hayes, was watching what was going on behind one-way glass. And when he saw the four masked armed men run in, he fired shots. All four of them ended up taking off. Hayes actually hit two of them, one in the wrist, one in the butt cheeks. Police ended up arresting these four individuals at an apartment not far away. They found some jewelry and drugs. When they actually tried to return the jewelry to Delton Hayes, he said, it's not mine. So apparently they had hit another jewelry store, or at least maybe even a private residence, and had stolen some jewelry. Delton Hayes said they only got away with one ring from his store, and they actually dropped it in the parking lot. So as it turns out, he wasn't missing any items whatsoever. One of the suspects, 17 years of age. We don't know the ages of the other, but they are described as, quote, young. The 17-year-old could be facing charges as an adult, but could also see this case end up in juvenile court. Thankfully, only the would-be robbers were injured. Delton Hayes and his employees are safe and sound, thanks to the fact that he was armed and able to protect himself and those store employees. On to our good deed of the day from New York City, of all places, where a woman lost a family heirloom, an earring, in a drain on the east side of New York City. I don't know how does it go from up here to down there? And in the drain. Anyway, it happened, and there were two officers from the 19th precinct who came to this woman's aid. Officer Diaz ended up using a coat hanger to get down into the drain and to hook the earring, while the New York PD 19th precinct says, Officer Diaz did that while, quote, Officer Slag provided a flashlight and whispered encouraging words. Why whisper? I wonder. You can do it. I know you can. You got this. I don't want to say anything too loud. I mean, it's New York City. You probably didn't even hear the whispered words of encouragement. Probably, what are you mumbling about? You got to be loud. You can do it. I know you got this. Come on, you can do it. Anyway, all's well that ends well. And Officer Diaz and Officer Slag in the right place at the right time, willing and able to help a woman recover a family heirloom. We thank you both for your good deed. That is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms, Cam & Company. Thank you again for tuning in today. We do appreciate it. On tomorrow's program, we're going to be talking with forensic psychiatrist Dr. Dennis Petrocelli from Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcasts. We love those reviews, by the way. Thank you for all of the five-star reviews. Spotify, Stitcher, townhall.com's podcast page. You can also subscribe to Town Hall Media at YouTube. And again, don't forget to sign up for the VIP program as well. Exclusive content. If you get the VIP Gold Package, you get VIP access across the entire Town Hall Media family of websites, including Hot Air, Twitchy, Red State, PJ Media, townhall.com, obviously, and Bearing Arms as well. And if you use the promo code CAM, C-A-M, you get a nice little discount as well. Thanks again for being a part of today's program. Enjoy your Veterans Day. Thank you for all of those who served, and we will see you tomorrow with another Cam & Company podcast.